We're probably going to talk about your take on Catholicism in the modern era. what have you got? Here you go. I've pivoted.
I'm the one guy who defends the priests.
Yeah, you go.
Those kids are asking for it.
They're soft bodies hidden by that white cloth. Oh, come
Tell
on.
Tell me. How about just make robot altar boys that we know when's tempted?
That's actually kind of a brilliant idea. We're recording.
Well, no, you're still a pedophile, though, Dan. God damn it.
Yeah, but if they fuck robots, they're not messing people's lives up.
They don't fuck robots in the moment. They go out and they troll the streets then.
You don't know that.
What are they doing in their spare time?
It's like that Louis joke on his special I'm Sorry, where he's like, we should make realistic sex dolls for pedophiles. And everyone went, oh. And he goes, well, then just let them fuck your kids. Such a funny line. I feel like we don't have our breakfasts now that Alan's on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess our whole friendship depends on Alan being in town.
He goes, well, of course, you're linked through me.
Dan comes to the breakfast is hot, too, from therapy. Dude, and let me tell you something else about anybody who forgot my birthday. Dude, I'm like, wait a second,
I'll come
Dan.
I'll come in there hot. I come in there right after. I've learned it's not good to...
second therapy with a friend?
Just come in and dump on someone? You know what Alan was saying to me? And you go, I don't, and I don't want to know. Yeah, don't hang out with your friends after therapy. You come in too hot and bothered.
I went in right after you last time and sat down. Alan said, how are you? I said, it's going to be a tough follow.
Yeah.
Gee, was so he doing voices? Tough to follow on stage and in therapy.
Was he doing a lot of impressions? That's kind of tough to follow in therapy, I go. And then my dad's over here. I'm doing impressions you don't know. He does a pretty good version of his dad.
I was thinking he's like, so I was drunk, my dad left me. And then I go in there and I'm like, I bite my nails.
Why am I scared of thunder? Do I need a thunder vest?
A thunder vest? Is that real?
Yeah, it's what we put on Myrtle. Where is it? I know you're a dog hater. Dude, it's a thunder vest. For those of you that don't know, this is great.
Oh my God.
A thunder vest is it's like a thing you put on a dog, but it like simulates a hug.
Did you check it with Justin to make sure it was legal?
No, I checked with Petco.
Petco?
Petco.
They'll tell you anything, Dan. God, you got sucked in. You got bad security. You're going to Petco to get your advice on dogs instead of Justin.
It's big dog. You're talking big dog business right now. That's all. That's follow the money. Where does it go? It starts at treats. Then it's haircuts. Yeah, but we have to put her in a thunder vest whenever there's a lightning storm because she freaks the fuck out.
So every day you're checking the forecast to see if you use the thunder vest or you don't use the thunder vest?
Sometimes we'll pill her up, dude. We'll sedate her.
What the hell?
You
could get
rides?
Your dog taken that way by child services.
They come
whatever
by.
The dog version of child services is.
You, dude, everyone drugs their dogs. It's the coolest.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're up here in the penthouse. You guys do that. You do whatever you want.
We give her adrenochrome. We go nuts. I went to the vet and the vet was like, it was just like a routine checkup on Myrtle. And the vet was like, does your dog have this kind of anxiety all the time? And I was like, oh yeah. And they're like, no, give her pills. So now we give her pills and then we put on the doors and we let Myrtle fucking break on through to the other side.
Was it Michael Jackson's doctor?
Yeah.
Who's now a vet?
Do you remember when you picked me up from the endoscopy and I just had that Michael Jackson drug?
You got your laser eye done.
No, it was the laser eyes. So when I got my endoscopy.
Picked you up from a couple surgeries, huh? What a friend.
Mike was my emergency
contact. What a friend
who
couldn't get in the building.
You snuck in the building.
I snuck in.
You're such a fucking...
I said, Soder, 39. I was so ready, too.
You were ready to fucking sneak in here, and then you're like, oh, just kidding.
I love it. I love saying, I can get to you anytime I want.
I can get to you. Just know, your little security guard downstairs can't do a goddamn thing.
You have a security team downstairs.
We have an elite force.
Yeah.
We have a security force.
Navy SEALs?
Yeah. They check. They do a lot of this when I walk in. They go... I go, I'm just going to the elevator.
Are you doing ray guns?
No, I'm doing fucking Navy SEAL hands. The ray guns?
The break dancer.
How much?
I thought you were starting a break dancer.
Did you get into the Olympics? No, love competition.
I couldn't get into it, but I did love the women's 4x100.
How great was that?
Dude, it was awesome. That's awesome. One of the most fun things. You like, it makes you proud to feel, you yes. just feel American.
Yes.
You know, and then they drape the flag all over each other and they're losing, and the girl in the last like just blows everybody
and then that
out.
Look, it's at like, the end where she looked over at her and you're like, that's, dude,
that's America, baby. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That gets so
all
hyped.
Of us together.
All of us.
Dude, come at us, China.
We were
what's
watching.
Up? Headbutt.
Oh, you want to have the same amount of medals as us? Well, I think we tied with gold medals with them. We had more medals, but they had the same amount
of
medals.
Yeah, but we won the Olympics. I think you should say that for the fans.
We won the Olympics.
Who are from other countries watching.
You, dude, we watched the 4x4. Did you watch that on the last day of the Olympics? It was the same day as the United
the
States.
The men's?
And the women's. They were back to back.
I know the men's. I read it. I just read it.
The men's was unbelievable.
Well, the men's screwed up the baton.
In the semifinal. Yeah. Oh, no. That was the 4x2.
Yeah.
4x2, they screwed up the baton. The 4x4, they had a 16-year-old kid on there. They had like a 16-year-old kid, and he got like crushed in the first leg of the semifinals.
Oh, wow.
So they subbed him out for like a like an old guy.
Yeah.
And then they won it, and it was awesome. And the 16-year-old was like, I got to go to school in 2 days. It was nuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love the Olympics. I get such Olympic fever. It burns.
But what
hot.
About the, did you read about the, I forget where she, the Paraguayan swimmer? Who did something naughty
and sexy.
Got kicked out of the Olympic Village.
Here's the thing. That's what you always want.
These swimmers are sexy. Like, I think everybody needs to just wrap their head around it and not kick them out.
I could not disagree with you more. Have you seen
you
most
could
of
not disagree with me more?
Have you seen most of the swimmers?
Wait, you could not
Wait, hold on.
You're disagreeing with me then?
I could disagree with you.
God, I can't do your mental gymnastics.
Follow me.
Dude.
I land a sentence. I couldn't disagree with you more.
This is called the PhD level podcast.
I couldn't disagree with you more. No, that makes sense. There's no way I could disagree with you more.
Oh, I'm going to keep... I'm so disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with you a lot. Can you break it down
so much?
I'm
disagreeing with you
so
much.
You know me a lot of years. I can't process.
I know his old brain and how to make it clunk up. I know how to jam up your old brain. But, dude, most of the swimmers... are not attractive. That one girl from Paraguay is, because she goes like this.
That makes her attractive.
Most of them are like, dude, most of them are fucking jacked.
They're perfect bodies.
They're not
jacked
bodies.
Because they have like they winged, have wingspan. Like, they have incredible lung capacity.
They're like
you're not
flying squirrels. They have like whole their traps are in. You just want a buff lady.
No, but you see their face.
You just like faces. Buff ladies.
I like ladies who are in shape. I wouldn't say buff.
You want to have,
you're mischaracterizing.
You want to get one of those ladies out of the back of wrestling magazines that'll wrestle you, but in a mean way, like put you in a headlock, not in a sexy way. You want to have a lady step on your head. And you're like, you were former Florida Miss Fitness. God, in a different world.
But the swimmers are, she was, I don't know what she did, but she got kicked out of the village.
They didn't
say. Her own team told her to like do something like, hey, don't do this. And she was like, really,
she's like, I'm sexy.
Angry at them. Yeah.
Look her up. The Paraguay swimmer.
Yeah.
Cause she is really cute.
She's very, and they all do OnlyFans. That's how they
well,
make their money.
The guy that, whose dick knocked off the high jump thing, he got an offer from France.
I think you're required to have a joke about that if you're going to do stand-up comedy in New York now.
Why? Is that was the Dave Attell rules?
Everybody has
if
a joke.
If you watch the news, you have to write a joke?
Everybody
sorry,
has a,
that was
everybody
like
when, has a joke about it.
Attell rule, you have to talk about it if it happened.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Yeah. She's smoking.
She's the only hot swimmer.
Oh, my God. She's the only hot one. There's tons of hot ones, man.
Dude, No.
And this is from a guy getting married who shouldn't be even saying this.
Both of us are getting married.
Both of us are. I mean, that's probably why you're holding back.
Yeah, I'm saying this.
Because your other half is in the next room. I love this move.
She's over there.
And I'm going to catch so much.
Yeah.
Paraguayan swimmer Luana Alonso wanted to compete for the United States instead of representing her home country. I wanted to rep the U.S. more. A live video on social media. Damn, was that why they were mad?
Oh, because she loves America?
She was accused of inappropriate conduct and booted from Olympic Village.
How could a hot person be accused of inappropriate conduct?
Yeah, she's hot. Let her go.
Yeah, let her do it.
Let her
rip. If it's an ugly person, I get it. Kick them out. Yeah, I used to have an old joke about... I can't tell the difference between Uruguay and Paraguay. I think Uruguay just had paralyzed people and they were like, let's just push you over here. And then it was just another country of people who were paralyzed.
Inappropriate atmosphere.
It's a clip.
What did she... I want to know what she did.
Oh, what she did was probably dirty and sexy. Let's just imagine. Probably what was. She has abs. Don't you love those abs?
She's got an APAC. I just want to clarify. I was never kicked out or expelled. Please stop spreading false information. That's what the swimmer said.
Mm.
But I mean, look at her abs, Mike.
Dude, she's shredded, and she's yeah. I mean, she's cute.
She's also 20. She's a child. She's 20.
Ah, oh, come on, Dan.
Oh, don't take the podcast down this route.
I mean, I think she's an amazing person. She's going to find someone who's equally
amazing. Yeah, she's going to get some like millionaire boyfriend who's like, yeah, I'm dating that hot Paraguayan swimmer.
But he's going to be doing that voice, but in Spanish.
Oh, yes. Paraguay. I wish I knew Spanish. Damn it. How did you not learn Spanish living in Florida?
I'll tell you what. 2 years in high school, 2 years in college, I still never learned it. Biggest regret.
Even in
that, not playing an instrument.
Yeah. What instrument would you have learned if you could?
I was started the drums, but then I started wrestling, and then drumming became like, you know, you have to find a band, all that stuff. It's very, you got to play something like
piano.
Like, yeah, piano.
Got to learn how to read music.
Yeah, but then there's always the people who are like, I'm just a genius. I don't read music. So we all think we're that, and then we just, it's a lazy way to get out of reading music.
I would need to learn how to read music, but that would be fun as hell to know how to.
Yeah, yeah. It exercises the part of your brain and makes you smarter. My brother can do it.
He can read music?
Yeah, my brother has a master's in music, not performance, music business, but he can read music. He played in college.
That's insane. Yeah. So you could just give him like a book and he can like look at the song.
Yeah, he
can
play bass guitar. He could play guitar. He's just a talented guy.
Just walk into your brother's room. Was he older or younger?
Older.
So he'd be jamming and he'd be like, Mike, get the fuck out of here. Oh, boom, 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 boom. Was that your guys' relationship?
No, because I was wrestling at the time, and
so
I broke his neck.
Is that why you wrestled? So you could bully everyone in the family?
Yeah. I don't know. Had my sister in a headlock. My sister says that today. She's like, you used to put me in a headlock.
Yeah.
I'm like, you shouldn't have been around the danger zone, baby.
By the way, I never knew this part of your childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Is you just
it runs deep, Dan.
You just learn how to beat up everyone in your family. You come home, they go, how was school today, Mike? And you go, mind your own goddamn business, Mom. She goes, I don't want to get another double leg in the kitchen.
My mom said we're raising a lethal weapon.
Oh. They had you in a straitjacket in a Hannibal Lecter thing at dinner. Let him out. Your dad was like, let the animal out.
Unleashed.
Unleash Michael Vincenzo Vecchio.
We let him out on veal parm night.
Dude, I love your older brother. He's like, don't, that's my little brother's room. It's to the basement. Beware of Mike.
Beware of Mike.
Beware of Mike. Yeah. Damn, dude.
Dan, you come a long way. This place is beautiful. You slept in a windowless room.
For I know. Years.
That's and crazy. Now you've made it to the, started from the bottom, now you're here. God, I love
By
it.
By the way, this apartment's cheaper than everything below it.
Is it?
Yeah, because we have to deal with everyone going to the roof. It's a nightmare on the weekends. It sucks. But
this place is so nice.
It is fun. It is fun having your old roommate over to do a podcast, to have it as public proof, to be like, huh?
I saw the talent before anybody.
Yeah.
I saw it growing in that small room. It could that small windowless room couldn't contain his talent.
I would get so, because I drank when we first moved in together.
Yeah, and you smoked. I got the end of smoking.
He did.
He would smoke out the window and go, sorry, dude. I'm just like, you know. That's, I'm just trying to rip a couple. What'd you say?
Butts.
It was something I rip butts. It was a Colorado phrase I'd never heard before because I'm from back east.
You're from the wrong side of the Mississippi. But I got into the wire the first 6 months we lived together.
Yeah,
I was.
You had to smoke because you were on the case,
dude. I would smoke. That's why I would smoke though. McNulty would smoke in the episode. And I'd be watching an episode at like 2 a.m. And I'd be like,
did you know, you ever see an interview with McNulty and he's like Scottish or something?
Yeah, Dominic
like, this was all a lie.
Yeah.
He's not from Baltimore.
Yeah. And then he has a good Baltimore accent too.
He's awesome.
But yeah, when you see him talk, he's like, I was thinking that Baltimore. But you'd be asleep. It'd be like 2 a.m. And I'd be like, I'm going to rip cigs right here.
You would watch me sleep. You would go up and take my pulse. You're like, he's down for the night.
I put a knife under your nose. Ah, that's good. It's good deep sleep.
He's got his thunder vest on.
He's got his REM cycle. We got him attached to his... But I would smoke, and you'd come out to use the bathroom, and then it would just be, I just machine gun apologies. I'd be like, I'm sorry. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, dude. This is crazy. I'm crazy. I'm drunk right now. Drunk. I just wanted a cigarette. I wanted it so bad. Well, we lived there. We lived together for 10 years.
10 years. I was so, can I say something about the end of it, though? I was thinking about this the other day. You know, thoughts just run through your head. I was so emotional the day that we left.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to, like, at my age, like, with all the, like, therapy and all the stuff, it's like, I didn't know how to get the emotion out. I didn't know how to tell you that I love you and that it's like, I'm going to miss you. You know, it's like I didn't know how to say it. It was just built up, and I was just like, in tears almost. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, am I this backed up emotionally that I can't even express anything?
We both are, because I remember the gayest moment in the history of our roommate relationship was that last day.
Yeah.
Well, we were packing everything up. Yeah. All my stuff was gone, and we were like packing up, and we were getting the final stuff out. And I went to put a Gatorade in the refrigerator or whatever. And I go, yeah, dude, I'm just going to miss living with you. And I put the Gatorade down, and I looked up, and both of us had tears like falling out of our eyes. And we were like, so I think that's all of it. Like, couldn't get it out.
You like, try to block the emotion with practical things. Like, we even need those boxes.
Yeah.
Are you gonna need them, or are you gonna take them? Are you gonna take them back to recycling, or am I?
Anthony said it was cool if you leave the bathroom like that. Oh, sweet October, how I love you. October, I'm on the road. Specifically, October 10th through the 12th, I'll be at the Houston Improv doing 5 shows. I love that club, so if you're in the Houston area, come on out. And then the week after that, October 17th through the 19th, I'll be at Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. Best sound system in any comedy club I've ever been in. I love that room. So those are 2 great weekends. Go to dansoder.com to see my full tour schedule. But Houston and Salt Lake City, I'll see you in October. November 8th, New York Comedy Festival. I will be at Town Hall, 9:45 p.m. show, November 8th. Tickets are moving. We're getting there. I'd like to sell it out. Go to dansoder.com and get tickets for the New York Comedy Festival at Town Hall, November 8th, 9:45. I'll see you there. You know they shut down Neptune?
Yeah, I heard that.
Neptune Diner closed. For those of you that don't know, Neptune Diner was a historic diner in Astoria, Queens, right off the Grand Central and 31st Street, and it is gone. It is dead, and it was very important to our apartment.
Go-to, man.
You just go to Neptune. Saturday morning, you had nothing.
Saturday morning, or if you were like when we were drinking, it's like hungover. You go there, eggs, coffee, just like sit there and like
just you know stare out the window, mad about other people's careers. Can't believe you got that. How many times I looked out the window of a Neptune diner and went, this fucking guy.
Where you come back from the road, the move was, it's 10 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
So you come back from the road, I would just go right to Neptune because I was starving.
Yeah.
So, because you know you didn't have any food, you know? So you'd go stop at Neptune, eat breakfast, and then take your luggage across
the overpass.
The subway, the overpass.
That's the overpass and, from my joke of, don't you feel like run? Don't you ever feel like running?
Yeah,
that was where she ran, and I went, no, I don't ever feel like running. And she ran across that whole overpass.
Wow,
real story.
She committed to it. That's good acting.
And then downing it.
That's good.
I just
acting.
Feel like
committing to it.
I needed to run across that whole episode. Oh,
she makes you feel wrong.
I missed all
for
the
not
stuff.
Running
when you live. You know, this is like any neighborhood, but when you leave a neighborhood and then you go back and you see the changes. It like makes you upset.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, you weren't supposed to. Caprice was still supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Remember the Greek nightclub?
Yes. Yeah. The 2 nightclubs on the.
So we lived it,
the
directly.
The nightclub and then the Ukrainian nightclub.
It was Dominican. Yeah, it was the.
Dominican.
It was called.
Getting the races wrong.
What was that?
Can we cut this?
Let me tell you right now, smoking cigarettes was the best.
Oh, you could.
You just sit there and watch Euro trash clash with Dominican trash. And they just like didn't like each other.
No.
There was always girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not always.
One side person. Likes to be pretty loud about it. I'll let you guess which side was verbally aggressive towards the women.
I like this. I love
but,
this.
You might want to do that. There was almost
the Neptune was also good late at night.
Oh,
open 24 hours before COVID.
Oh.
And it's like, we, you know, you down the spots, you would go.
And they hated when we first started going there. Me, Joe List, and everybody, Dan Hirshon, and we had no money. They would hate us when we'd come in because they'd be like, "Let me guess, bowl of chicken and rice, extra crackers," and you'd be like, "Yeah." That's all you had money for. So they were just like, these fucking guys. And we come in hammered. And
yeah,
they'd just
be like,
that's the worst. Working in service industry late night.
Yeah.
Like the people, that's why at least Waffle House has the reputation that they'll fight you. Like that's kind of a good rep. Mm-hmm. That they're like, hey, we don't like you. We might.
Well, they got armed security in there, which they need.
Do they?
Yeah,
I haven't been to a Waffle House in a while.
You shot over a waffle. No, because they're in the. I have a whole thing about the Waffle House, but it's
I didn't mean to fucking blow your bit. Sorry to.
I mean, I guess I could do it here.
No, it's great. I didn't know we're. Sorry, I didn't know we were turning this into Inside the Actor's Studio. What's your favorite word?
They're not Cracker Barrels, but they are pretty high end. But I love. Because they're not up here, you know, and I never really toured the South.
Yeah.
So I went to the Waffle. It's just. It's amazing. Dude, we went to one on tour with Nate, and I think it was just me and Travis. And
Travis is the guy you want to go out to a Waffle House with.
Absolutely. And it was
he's probably got three guns on him.
Yeah. He has three guns, a knife.
Yeah.
He's ready for anything. You're like,
Travis, you'll be my security escort, liaison.
So we're there, and it's like everything stereotypical. There's a guy at the bar. There's women. There's two black women. A couple tables over, just saying stuff. I can't hear what they're saying. They're just yelling stuff. And there's a guy at the bar, and another guy walks in. He's like, "They'll let anybody in here."
Love it, dad. Great. Jokes.
There's a the manager is this oversized guy with this with the his girlfriend is the waitress, and he has all these keys on a ring. Like, I mean, like
old school 50 janitor
keys. Yeah.
You and Travis walking into a place, I would immediately go, "Hey, those are undercover marshals." That's what I would, whoever I was with, I'd look up from my hash brown smothered in Burt's chili, and I'd go, "Those guys are undercover air marshals." Yeah.
I wanted to be like, "I'm from the health department."
Oh, well, you'd have to fight everybody.
Like department.
They'd be like, "Lock the doors. He's not going anywhere."
I don't know what you expect. We never close. When do you think we clean? We don't. You know that. Come on.
Did you ever work at a
restaurant? On the arm.
You never worked at a restaurant?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah,
you were a waiter? I was a bad waiter, dude.
Did you ever have the health department come by?
No.
Dude, it...
Oh, you know what? Maybe it was the fire marshal. But
the health department coming by? If you work at a restaurant, it's an attack. They might as well do an alarm. It fucks everything up.
Yeah.
No restaurant runs like it's supposed to. They skip all the corners, but then the health department comes and they're like, "Get rid of all the water pitchers." And so you're like, you're trying to have service and energy with like your tables. And you're like, "Oh, that's a great one." You're like just dumping shit. You might as well be like putting papers through. It's like when the SEC raids a bank and they're like, "Just fucking shred all the docs." That's what the health department is. They're like, "We don't have Mexicans here. Out the back. And then we're in the kitchen. I'm acting like I'm cooking. I'm like, "One more taco up for order." It's wild, dude. Cause they have to get rid of so much shit because they can sink you, especially in New York City. The health department will be like, "Dude, we'll slap a C on the outside of this restaurant."
Yeah, well, that's why you hit them off with a C note.
Oh, yeah, inflation.
It's called bribery.
Thanks, Biden. thanks, Joby. That's what I call him.
He can't hear you. He's napping.
He's, They made him speak at 11 p.m. at the DNC. What a troll.
He's an early speech. He's like, he's got to get out of here. He's got bingo.
Yeah, but they made him go up at 11 and he's like, That was like his McCain Hanoi Hilton. He was like, trying to fight the sleep. Joe, we're ready to go. He goes, he's just doing nap talk at the DNC. He goes, you get a cat and you put him in a suit. That don't make him a banker. Like, Joe, you all right? Hey, I dozed off.
You want that guy.
Sweet old man. He's the only president.
Nuclear weapons.
He's the only president you want to softly kiss on the forehead as you take away the football, the nuclear football. You go, okay, we're going to put some Murder, She Wrote on for you.
I think he should have just transferred it to his son, like old England.
That would have been great. Biden. Yeah. Hunter Biden.
Biden too. Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He takes off the sunglasses. He goes, looks like it's hunting season.
New rule in America. This is a law. Everybody goes shirtless. Even women.
This is champagne.
You wanted it equal, didn't you?
This is champagne. She's the secretary of sucking off. It's a new cabinet position. Hunter, we can't be doing this. He goes, no, no, no. I want a Chinese one and I want an African one. They go, oh my God, what did we let this guy into? And then Joe's like, is he going to be like Joe Pa and he's just going to die after his job?
Oh, I thought you meant the
that he's
covering up sex stuff. But no, he's going
to answer for Joe Paterno, Mike. You went to Penn State.
Penn State, baby. Answer. We own it.
Yeah. No, you guys don't.
No, they don't. But I do.
No, they don't.
Oh, I do.
No, they don't.
And Penn State doesn't like to talk about
dude,
that.
Dude, it's so funny.
And it's uncomfortable that you brought it up on
We lived together with, he's a Penn State alumnus. And we lived together when the Joe Pa thing broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first you do the thing where you go like,
Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Na, 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 na.
I go like this. Hey, Mike, did you read anything on ESPN.com? You're like, no, what's going on? You're like, you might want to look at the internet today, buddy. You go, what? They're saying Sandusky's defense is unbeatable? And you go, it's just not sussing out, yeah, bud.
You don't want to break it for me. You don't want to break it to me. But it's that Colorado, the year I graduated, it was us. There was no playoff. So it was like us and Colorado.
Yeah, 91.
Number one. Yeah, Rashad Salaam.
Oh, 94.
And Kejana Carter. 94.
Yeah, Kejana Carter was up for the Heisman.
Kejana Carter was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was Kerry Collins and Kejana Carter were up for the Heisman.
We had three guys going the top 10 of the draft.
Yeah, and
then the first round.
We had Colorado had Rashad Salaam, RIP, Cordell Stewart, Michael Westbrook. We had a fucking Colorado had a nasty team.
Yeah.
They were nasty.
Nasty girl.
Nasty girl.
Like that Paraguayan swimmer.
Oh, you love her.
She was being a nasty girl.
Yeah, but she's a child.
She got kicked out of the village.
She goes, was I being too Latin? I was being too Central American.
Yeah, I was.
She was too sexy for the Paris Olympics.
Central America does it different. They're not South America. They're a little bit more
classy.
They cover up a little bit more.
Would you have wrestled in the Olympics?
Dude, I went to the Olympic trials. I think there was I got pinned so fast. It was an Olympic year. Like
they go, son, we're not going to send you to the Special Olympics. No, how fast you just
got. The philosophy at Penn State was like, we wrestle all year round. We go after the season's over. It's like we just go into freestyle practices, and we get, if it's an Olympic year, we get ready to go. We just go to the Olympic trials and. They're just tournaments. They're open tournaments.
So they're open. So
at that level, the entry level, they're open. So we went to Brockport, New York, and the Olympic trials just to get mat time, get experience. I never wrestled freestyle in high school.
Sure.
I didn't really understand the rules of it. But it's like gets you the guys who are really good wrestle all year round. They wrestle freestyle and then they usually run cross country because that's what it's like when you first get there, you run. It's just running.
Yeah.
It's running and drilling. So it's like you're just running like you're on a cross-country team. I always played football.
Yeah.
So I was always like, so you can't be like overweight or thick or anything.
Because you're just going to run.
Because you just have to run, yeah. So you have to get your diet kind of. The whole big thing is like get your diet under control before you go.
My favorite thing with Vecchione would be getting stoned and having him tell me stories of him just being absolutely dominated in wrestling because it's like fighting a bear. Like a bear will just, like the strength, you had to go against.
I mean, the guys were so tough. We had like, you know, all Americans up and down the lineup. The year I wrestled was like we were third in the country. And it was Iowa, I think Oklahoma State, and then us.
And then they would just beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, I would take beatings and pray. Coming from high school in Florida.
Yeah.
To going to an elite collegiate program.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be anything but nuts.
That's why
the guys in Pennsylvania who, first of all, wrestling in Pennsylvania is much different than wrestling anywhere else in the country. It's elite. So it's Ohio, like, even from you're in high school and you qualified for states, when you go into a room like Penn State, yes, it's a big leap, and yes, you're out of place, but it's like you're still used to like a good program and tough kids, and you did qualify for the state. That guy's qualified for the state tournament.
So like,
my friend James is a Maryland state champ. Yeah. My friend Vinny was a two-time, he was a New Jersey runner-up.
So
it's like everybody's tough, like from their own areas. But the Pennsylvania guys, the Ohio guys, it's like these are tough. It's like being a comic in New York, where it's like you're in a it's like there's rooms everywhere. The competition level is really high. It's like easier to get good, but also you have to put the effort in.
Well, I was going to say, for football, everyone knows like the best states are Texas, Florida, Ohio, California. For wrestling, it's Pennsylvania, Ohio, Iowa.
And then like New York is tough. New York is tough because the city sucks, but the guys in Long Island are very tough.
And the upstate guys
are very tough. The thing about New York is it's one tournament. So
for everybody.
Like, yeah, for everybody. So
where
it's like,
is it?
The other states have like double A, triple A, depending on how big your school is. But it's one. It used to be. I don't know what it is now. Maybe it changed. But when I was coming up, it was one tournament. So if you won states in New York, you were a beast.
Dude, I'm ready to go full fox catcher. Can we start going to these tournaments? And I'll start funding all these like wrestlers and make them.
Then you start doing a little bit.
Come on, wrestle. Yeah. What's this guy? Is this guy a comic? And you're like, I got you.
It's such a great thing for like. But when I was done with it, I felt so. I was telling this to Stavros on his podcast. Yeah. He's like, I never quit anything.
Sure.
I was just like, that's the way I was brought up. And so when I stopped wrestling, when I quit, it was like the beginning of the year, I just didn't go back out for the team. I did 1 year and I was like, I can't do this again. This is insane. So I went back, but after it was over, and the coach was like, he was like, dude, you worked so hard and you're gritty, like whatever. It was very, very nice. And he's like, if you ever want to come in the room, and work out. Maybe just start and see if you want to do it again. I would have done that, then I would have just stayed.
Well, you would have felt obligated.
Yeah, I would have felt obligated.
But
if I would have my brain now, I would have went in the room and worked out, and then just like went, because I would have went to the practices. I would have went to like every other day. I wouldn't have competed unless I wanted to. It's like if I could have done it like that, then I would have done it. But like every practice, sometimes we'd practice three times a day.
Jesus.
You'd get up in the morning, run, drill,
and
go to breakfast, go to class, come back. We'd have to get a lift in 3 days a week, a half hour lift with a trainer. They take you through a workout, and then you'd get a shower, and then you'd go to class, and then you'd come back and you have 4 o'clock regular practice.
And you're watching your weight the whole time.
Yeah, that was the real kicker for me because I couldn't control my weight. Because you would go to that calf and it was all you can.
You got fat boy brain.
A fat boy brain come from an emotional eating family. We know this now. There's no science behind it before.
The Italians love to emotionally eat.
God, we love it.
God,
it was ground into us. Man.
Yeah.
My father, when people call during dinner, the phone would ring. My father would be like, who is that?
Who's
calling during dinner?
Who's fucking crazy?
Get on
enough.
The phone, tell your friend, stop calling during dinner. We eat at different times. He didn't care.
Yeah.
He's like, get on the phone and tell him to stop.
6:30. He goes, 7:30 is dinner time. Well, they're done.
Anywhere from 4 to 7, no one calls.
I'm so glad I don't have that relationship with food because I watched you go through that the entire time we lived together.
Go through it now. I'm really? Coming off the road. I check my weight at the gym and I'm like, because I didn't feel right. I'm like, I feel like sluggish and blah, blah, blah. And now there's no excuse. Like I'm off the road. So I checked my weight. I'm like, this is out of control. Because you fool yourself, you're like, I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm working out. Like, I'm having dessert once in a while, but I'm good. It's like you check your weight. It's like, oh no, you're not good, dude. You're not good. You're just and you're lifting weights. You're just putting muscle on top of fat. Now you have this weird fat muscle mix.
That's kind of cool, though. That's perfect pro wrestling bod. We were the perfect balance because you would make me feel like shit if I ate horribly. Dude, if you saw how Katie and I ate right now, you'd be like, what are you doing? But
it's all according to your genetics also. It's
sure,
like you have great if you have great genetics and you're just a thin guy, or you're tall too, so the weight
like
looks differently on you.
I'm skinny fat, which sucks. But when we lived together, I always was like good about waking up, going to the gym, having a shake, like a nutritious vegetable shake, and then I'd have hard-boiled eggs, and then maybe like a snack, and then a regular dinner or whatever, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
And I was good about it. On the road, I would get, for my snack, I would get a fucking trail mix. And then, but then on Sundays, dude.
Blow it out
on cork.
Yeah.
We'd get fucking grandma's pizza.
Yeah.
I'd get a pint of Talenti and just walk through it. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. But you feel that way about food too. Yeah, obviously. But it's like, there's like a more connected, when I was growing up, it was a way to relax.
Sure.
Eating was relaxing. And I remember after wrestling, I would just like, it was a blood sugar problem, I think, because I would just binge eat.
I feel like families are either eating families or drinking families. I feel like the eating families, that's how they like relax and unwind. And like you were saying,
but I did that with alcohol also. I think I did it with alcohol. Like, well, as an alcoholic, I wasn't at, you know, your level. But I did binge drink to relax. Because I remember after I stopped drinking, I was like, oh, I realize what I was doing now. I was uncomfortable in social situations, or not uncomfortable, but I was like, I want to feel better. How can I feel better? And it's like, oh, drinking is a socially acceptable way to do that.
Man, when I lived in that windowless room and I would drink, I'd be like, I'm going to smoke in here. I don't give a fuck. I would smoke in the windowless room.
So great.
I would smoke in the fucking bathroom. I was a horrible roommate.
But you were only there for like, it was like 3 months of that.
Yeah.
And then it's like
I quit drinking.
Then you quit drinking and you read the book. And then Pete would, who we loved.
Our old roommate, Handsome Pete.
Handsome Pete, because it was funny to us. You know, I mean, it was so funny.
Nate made me laugh the hardest when Nate crashed with us. Imagine that. Nate had to crash with us.
Yeah.
He crashed on our couch.
People forget that. Like, we forget that because we are now. But it's
Nate insane. Would come back to New York and be like, hey, can I sleep on your all's couch? And you're like, yeah, no problem. But dude, one time Nate slept on our couch and he was like, Pete brought home a girl and Nate was there. And Nate was like, how does he explain y'all to her? He goes, I don't know. There's like a guy with a deep voice that lives in a windowless room. And then I think, and then he lives with former Mr. Pennsylvania. Is that what he called you? He called you former Mr. Ohio. Yeah. Dude, it's so funny. Nate made me laugh so hard when we were talking about, because we knocked on your door and you unlocked it. And Nate was like, how many doors does he have? He's like, six locks. And then a shotgun comes through. He goes, sorry, I thought you were bed bugs. Do you still have the bed bug phobia?
Yes.
Still bad?
Yeah, because anytime I'm in a hotel, like I stay in better hotels now, obviously, but anytime it's like the hotel is everything is in the tub, I'm naked.
He puts his clothes in the tub and he puts a suitcase in the tub. I bought him a suitcase when we lived together that he could plug in.
Yeah.
That was an anti bed bugs suitcase.
Yeah.
So apparently
it heats up and cooks them.
It cooks the bed bugs. If you put your stuff in
they don't like heat.
Yeah. They don't like
heat. It was such a terrible experience.
That was right when you moved in.
I was the only one who got bit. The only one. What happened was we were in that lower apartment that I was there for like 7 years, and we started having flies in the bathroom. I'm like, how are there flies in the bathroom? Turns out the guy upstairs is a shut-in, and it's like just stopped caring.
Yeah,
and just
I'm let close to
it. So there was so I, it was like, well, we have this apartment open over here. You don't have to deal with any of this. I'm like, cool, I'll move.
Oh, and then that
and I moved, and then that became. But that was not because of the. I think it's I bought furniture that had it in it.
You think you brought it in?
Yeah, I think it was furniture, or it might have been the building. I don't know.
I think it was the building because you got it four times in the same building.
Yeah. Well, I would just call an exterminator. What you have to do is sanitize everything and wash everything you own. So we'd bring everything to the center of the room, clean the closet. It's like moving.
Yeah.
It's like moving once every month. It's like you bring everything to center. They spray and you're like, you're good now. So it's like, then you put everything back and then you get bit again. Then it's like, okay, now we got to do it again. It's like, okay. So before I moved in with you, I got all of it. I paid to get all of it.
Put a specific kind of mover.
Yeah.
That they put it in a moving truck and then they like,
yeah,
zap it.
Yeah, they zap it. They leave it overnight and they steam it to make sure that. But I threw most everything out.
People
remember when I moved in, I put all the boxes. It was like that for like maybe 5 years. Kept all the boxes against the wall.
Yeah.
And Pete was like, I think we should get, which is not unreasonable now that I look back on it. It's like, we should get storage. I'm like, nah, I'm not paying for storage.
Yeah. So our apartment looked like a flop house for house robbers. Our couch was like in front of a bunch of boxes and stuff.
That couch would cripple you. That couch was a crippler.
Yeah.
The one you had before you bought the other one?
Oh, yeah, the one that was broken in the middle?
Yeah, it was a broken couch. So it's like, I mean, just call your chiropractor after you sit here.
We had to put pillows. We stacked pillows in the middle seat, and then we put another pillow over the top. Dude, it was wild.
We were dead broke.
Yeah. And I remember when you moved in, you being like, bed bugs. And here's the thing. Growing up in Colorado, I never heard of bed bugs.
They can't take the altitude.
That's probably what it is.
I know everything about them.
They get headache. They don't like skiing. How do you know that about them?
But they find the people to be sour.
But I remember when I was little, my mom, you know, with little kids, my mom would be like, all right, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. And I'd be like, yeah, bed bugs. And then when I moved here, they were like, outbreak of bed bugs. And I was like, what, is someone's mommy putting us all to bed? And then they're like, no, it's a fucking problem. And then when I worked at Dos Caminos, you know, we had a locker room where everyone got changed. And this girl came in who was like new from St. Louis. And she was like, yeah, I've got all these bites around. And everyone's like, bad bugs, bad bugs, bad bugs. And the fucking place went nuts. And everyone's like, pull your shit out of the lockers. We got to fucking stink. We got to like... this girl might have brought in bed bugs in, and she was just like one of these like young girls that just moved to New York, and she goes, I woke up and it's just like, and there was like the circular bites all over her side and everyone, dude, the freaking,
it's
out,
called breakfast, lunch and dinner, Dan.
Hello
It's three bites in a row, breakfast, lunch and dinner.
It's nuts. But they do it almost in a circle.
Yeah.
And
well, the bites start small, and by in a couple hours they just become huge and itchy.
Oh.
And it's like they don't need to feed that much. They can bite you once and then just hibernate for a year.
Really?
Yeah, they don't need to eat that much, but they get a flavor. I'm saying it wrong, but they get like a taste for one person, and they just keep biting that one person.
Oh, so they become addicted.
It was me. Like, and no one else got bit. Mattern didn't get bit. The other guy we lived with was a good guy. Didn't get bit.
They wanted you. They wanted that gravy that's going through your veins.
Tomato. This guy's al dente.
Yeah, that was something where your bed bug PTSD affected me. Because you remember when I'd be like, dude, I found a fucking bug in my bed. And you'd be like, what? What? And you're like coming in and expecting, you'd be like, that's a carpet beetle.
Yeah,
that's
a carpet beetle. Yeah.
Carpet beetles would just show up. They'd be in my bed.
You don't want to do that. The worst is comics having to deal with bed bugs because we overthink everything anyway.
Have you seen on TikTok, they're finding bed bugs in hotels?
Oh, cool. Man.
Well, it used to be movie theaters. Like, I wouldn't go to the movies for the longest time.
Yeah, because they'd be in like, oh, and this is at a hotel. This is a lady pulling out a...
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. It's like Tammy Pescatelli actually told me that. She's like, put the, first of all, pull the mattress up and look to see if there's any like,
blood stains?
Yeah, blood or poop around. And then take the iron and just set it on the bed. They respond to the heat, they'll come out.
And so she's doing this with the iron, and then she pulls the sheet off and goes all the way to the mattress. Oh my God. And there's just bugs.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I would throw out everything I owned.
I'm going to have to do this at every hotel now.
I would just throw out everything I own.
Can you? Is there like a registry for like child?
Yeah, no, I would check
for like sex offenders?
No, there's a registry. This is the steps I would take. I would, first of all, Warren Holstein.
Shout out Warren Holstein.
Forever. He had them, and I told, I went into the comic strip when I first got them, and I go, I got this pesky little problem. He's like, move. I go, come on, dude.
He's the old man in the horror movie? Yeah. Where he goes, I'll just turn around and go home. It's not worth going there. And you go, shut up, old man. We're going to go party at the lake. I wouldn't do that. People that go and party, they don't come back.
Yeah. He was that. He was like, you should move. I go, dude, I'm not moving. I just moved in there.
Warren Holstein, like, just seeing him sitting over a drink, looking up, going, move.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there are these things called bed bugs, but they don't sound that comfortable.
This is how much PTSD he had. While we were talking about it, he thought there was a bed bug on my face. And he was like, Christ. What's that? what's that? He started moving away. I go, it's a mole. It's just a mole on my face. Yeah. And he goes, all right.
Moles, we call those God's bed bugs. He puts those on your face.
Bed bugs, dude, for the ugly.
Yeah, dude, but people are like, dude, it fucks your shit up.
It messes you up because it's to get rid of them, and then you're dealing with your landlord, and you're dealing with exterminators, and the landlord, the problem is the landlord, what they bid it like every other job, which you can't do. It's like they bid it like it's any other contractor, so they just bid the lowest organization that can come in there and do it, and if you do that, you're going to get the worst one, and you need to go the highest, because it's a problem that if you don't stop it, then it will, it'll ruin the entire building. I haven't been back to that neighborhood since then.
Beagles have been trained.
That's how afraid I am.
Beagles have been trained to smell bed bugs.
I did that too. We had a dog come in. The dog, I'm sorry.
Can we train Myrtle?
Train Myrtle?
To smell bed bugs.
Well, first of all, she's got to get used to thunder. I don't trust a dog that can't weather thunder as maybe, a competent. Maybe that's no disrespect, but the.
Well,
no disrespect,
a lot taken.
But it's a competent. The dog needs to. If the dog's
did you believe when the Beagles came in, where you're like, these fucking dogs don't know what they're doing?
I believed anything. I'm pretty gullible. You know that.
Yeah.
And the dog came in and he was like, no, you don't have them. I'm like, yes. And then I got bit again and I called him back. He goes, we can do another run.
He goes, sorry, I'll put the dog down. You see and smell him? Sorry. You guys want to come over here while we kill this dog?
this dog got it wrong, but not afraid of thunder.
Dude, you keep bringing that up. Lots of dogs are scared of thunder.
I'm sorry.
There wouldn't be an entire thunder vest market if dogs weren't afraid of thunder. If it was only my pussy-ass dog.
All right, but I think thunder vest is very funny.
Yeah. It's what I call hugs that I lay on my friends.
If one of us doesn't...
hey, buddy, I got you in the thunder
vest. One of us doesn't write a joke about it, we would be remiss.
All right, today I gotta do a Paraguayan swimmer bit. I gotta do a French guy with the big dick jumping over. I gotta do Olympic material. I forgot what it was like to live with you. I get all these homework assignments and I gotta write jokes about them. Dude, I'm about to give you a thunder vest, aka a bear hug down the fucking stairs.
That would be great at the end of the podcast if you just beat me up.
If I just, I go,
I just walked out.
I've been waiting for something. just push the mic away. And I've been waiting for this for 10 and a half years. That was crazy. We lived together. He didn't raise our rent. He raised our rent once.
Yeah, I mean,
because he didn't fix anything.
He didn't fix anything. But we had that speed bump in the kitchen.
Our kitchen had a pipe leak. And we had wood boards in our kitchen, but then we had the plastic linoleum over it. And the pipe leaked and it warped one floorboard. So one floorboard went like that under the linoleum, so it looked like we had a ramp in our kitchen. It rolled.
It looked like a speed bump in the kitchen, like where it's like where you're trying to cook fast. It's like, whoa, slow down.
Some of your favorite comedians have had their ankles rolled in our kitchen. Nate Bargatze, Shane Gillis. Yeah. I mean, quite the star-studded lineup.
Yeah.
Jermaine Fowler, Greg Stone. I mean, we had a lot of people on.
These guys weren't ready for it.
They weren't. They come in the kitchen.
Ready for it.
They go, can I get a glass of water? Next thing you know, they're down with a bum ankle. Thing
where it's like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't you run into the kitchen and grab a glass of water? Might want to stretch your ankles a little bit. What's that? You hit a bump? Dude, and we come in, you call Anthony. Yeah. We call our landlord and be like, Anthony, you got to help us out. There's a bump. You go, Dan, I'm trying.
Whatever you thought. No, the best was when he didn't answer. It's like my light fixture in my room couldn't get fixed for 8 months.
It was crazy.
For what? 8 months. Because it wasn't the light. It was the fixture. There was an electrical problem.
So Mike had just spooky lighting in his room.
I just had infrared goggles.
It was crazy. You'd walk in and he just had a tiny lamp in the corner. You'd be like, is Mike, are you in here? I'd come in with a candle on a plate. Mike, my favorite one was one morning I woke up to go to the gym and I turn on the light to take a piss in the bathroom and I'm like, this lighting seems crazy. And I looked up and there was a leak in the bathtub of the apartment above us, and the leak had filled, we had one of those circular light fixtures. It had filled it with dirty water, and it was like coming down the sides of the walls. And I called Anthony, he goes, all right. Like, he finally had to show up to the building. He was like, all right. Remember when that hot girl on the top level, she goes, yeah, we had like this girl, this girl was like gorgeous, and she lives on our top floor. And her friend was banging Handsome Pete. That's how we talked to her.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She wanted nothing to do with us. But our roommate was banging her friend.
Yeah.
So she would like talk to us. Like our living room was like a waiting room while hot girls got dug out. Fucking Vecchione and I were like the secretaries that sat there and talked to her. Swear to God,
we were like reception.
We'd like sit in the living room and be like, so we're both comedians. I mean, if you think about it, what a great situation for Pete.
It was like, great. It's like no one could accuse him of everything. We do the exit interview. You have a good time? Everything's fine?
Everything
like,
all right?
Hey, great. Do you see yourself coming back? We're going to go live our fantasies. We're going to go live our fantasies. He would leave the keys in the door.
Oh,
he would open the door, leave the keys in the door.
It's my favorite Pete story of all time. I would occasionally get Vecchione to smoke weed. It would happen so few and far between. But sometimes he'd be like, let's watch Family Guy. I'll smoke weed. And I'd be like, yes. And we went in my room. And we smoked a bowl. We're watching Family Guy. We're having a hell of a time. The laugh per minute off the charts. Pete comes in. He's FaceTiming, as hot guys do. They publicly FaceTime. All of us would be mortified. We'd be like, let me FaceTime you when I'm at home. Pete walks in the door, opens the door. What's up, guys? Are you watching Family Guy? Shuts the door. Whatever, goes into his room. He's FaceTiming a girl. You could hear the girl talking. Vecchione and I are stoned on the couch, and then we just hear small knocking on our window because we're on the first floor, and we're like, the fuck is that? And I open the curtain, and it's a cop with a flashlight, and he goes, hey, you, open up. I'm high as fuck. I'm like, no, and this is before weed was decriminalized in New York, so I'm like, no, hi, hey. I do my best, like, hello, officer. I go to the front door of the building. I go, how can I help you, sir? And he's like, someone took a cab and didn't pay for it and just walked out. And I was like, well, me and my roommate have been home for like 5 hours, so it's zero chance it's us. And it was Pete, and he was still FaceTiming. And he goes, oh, I thought I swiped my credit card. I guess it didn't stick. And he like went out and dealt with it. I was like, dude, Vecchione being so high, being like, the cops are outside.
The cops are outside.
So fucking funny.
Yeah, the cops are here.
What do we do? Dude, the life of Handsome Pete.
You'd
just be like, whoops. One time he woke up and he was like, I left the keys in the door overnight. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? He'd be like, whoopsies.
He'd leave the keys in the door overnight.
He would like do this thing where he'd be like, he'd come over and he'd be like, yeah, this restaurant wants me to go eat there with like six hot girls that are like paying me to go eat there.
Yeah, yeah. And he would do stuff like that. He'd like come back from Starbucks with all this free stuff. He's like, I just went to Starbucks. They gave me all this free stuff. Take anything you want.
Yeah, we'd be like, how?
Come on, dude. Come on.
But dude, my favorite.
Then he would speak Russian in the living room.
That was crazy.
And we were like,
his parents were Russian and he spoke it fluently. So he'd be like, he'd like yell at his parents in his bedroom and we'd be like, hey, maybe we don't ask for Pete for rent this month. Maybe we just let him cool out.
Oh, remember Pete said, why don't I pay the rent? And then you guys can just like pay me in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it was something.
Some kind of scheme. It's like, no, Pete, we're not doing that. We're
paying the rent.
Also,
his first two checks bounced, and Anthony was like, I'm not accepting your roommate's checks. So then I had to start paying his part.
No, but how did Anthony actually say? He's like, Dan,
I'm getting these rent checks from Peter, and they're not going. What's up?
That's all
he did. He goes, you just pay me next time.
Yeah, he goes,
that's how he solves it.
You're going to pay me. I'll accept your check. So then I had to get paid by Pete. But dude, my favorite moment with Pete was he'd go out to the Hamptons like regularly. That's how hot he was. That people in the Hamptons were like, please just come take your shirt off.
Pete was hot.
They're like, please come take your shirt off for us. He brought this male model over.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy,
I don't know if I was home for that.
You weren't. You're on the road. I told you about it, though. This guy comes over. This guy's like gorgeous. He's like the kind of guy that wears like a sleeveless shirt and you can like see his abs on the side. It's like his body was like a He-Man action figure. And he's like, what's up? And I'm like sitting on the couch, my weekend off. So I'm just like stoned on a Saturday watching TV. This guy's on my couch just being like, what do you do? And I'm like starting to be like, I don't like this guy's attitude. I don't like this guy's attitude one fucking bit. And Pete's taking a shower and Pete gets out and he's like, yeah. And like the guy's name, Landon, or whatever the fuck his name was. He was like, can I use your bathroom or whatever? And he goes in the bathroom and Pete's on the couch. I go, what's the deal with this guy? He's got a fucking attitude problem. I don't like him. And Pete goes, oh, no, dude, he's just an idiot. He's like so stupid. And once he said that and he came back and I reframed it, I was like, oh, like I saw the guy and I was like, oh, you are, you're fucking stupid. Like he was like, so it's, do you guys have pizza around here? And I was like, yeah, down on the corner. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And you're like, it all made sense. It was
great.
It was wild. But then I was like, ah, I like your dumb hot friend. Dude, the funniest was when
fucking dumb hot people.
Pete would bring people over and I don't like it because it's our space, you know? And when you live with more than one roommate, they bring people in. Vecchione and I had to tell Pete he wasn't allowed to have friends over. We had to tell his friend, I bought a brand new couch and his friend threw up on it. And I was like, dude, you can't.
Well, what about the time that you came home from the road?
That was what I was going to tell.
Yeah, go ahead. That was sorry. Angriest. I don't want to say. Yeah.
Because you weren't there.
No, I wasn't there.
But boy, oh boy.
But coming home from the road, it's like people need to understand. Coming home from the road, it's like you're just, you know, not that you're anything, but you're just tired. It's like you traveled, you're hungry, you want to eat, and then you just want to like. You just want to dial it. Take a shower from the plane fans, and dial it down.
This was the fight where Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva were fighting for the middleweight title, and Chris Weidman broke his leg on a kick. That's the exact date it happened, and I know that. I was working for Guinness, and Guinness had me out for like 3 straight weeks. I was on the road for 3 straight weeks. With anybody, I'll tell you. More than 2 weeks on the road. You feel insane. Yeah. You're just kind of like, I need to go home. I need my stuff. It was a Saturday I was coming home because we did like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday gigs. Saturday I was flying home from the West Coast and I landed at JFK and I just had a feeling. I was like, I know Vecchione's out of town. Dude, if I go there and Pete has people over, I'm going to be angry. I just remember thinking that, just being like, if people are at my house right now, I'm going to be pissed. And I had a huge suitcase in my backpack. And the cab pulls up to our place in Queens. And I see the lights on. And I'm like, dude, I walk
like
up.
Like a dog. You start growling. You start growling at the window. Even though you can't see what's there.
What's that? Dude, I walk in to our apartment. It is filled with people who I've never met. One face I know. Vecchione's on the road. I know that. I know that for a fact. And I go, where is Pete? And one of his friends goes, oh, he just left to go meet up with a girl. And I went, so you are all in my apartment without my roommate. By the way, as I told you, UFC event. I was very excited for this UFC event. I had Vecchione buy it and record it on the DVR because I knew I was going to come home and be able to watch it. And all I wanted to do was order a pizza and watch this UFC event. And I get home, they're watching the UFC event. They're drinking. Our couch was an L couch. It was pretty big. It could fit about 8 people. Filled with people. People are up in the kitchen. They're on the speed bump. Everyone's around. And I'm like, where is Peter? And the one guy I knew was like, oh, he just left to go to a chick's house. And I was like, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette and take a walk around the block. I need you gone when I get back. And to their credit, I smoked a cigarette. Yeah. I walked around the block and I came back and everyone was gone. I was so mad. And I'm watching the UFC event and Pete comes in and I just fucking are like, I'm like, what the fuck? And he's pushing back. He's like, fuck that, I can have people over. And we start yelling at each other. And then Chris Weidman breaks his leg on Anderson Silva. And we were both like, oh, it was on the TV. And both of us were like, what the fuck? It stopped us mid-argument. That was what made us not fight
One
anymore.
Fight stopped another fight.
It is. A broken leg. And we were like, oh. And I was like, bro, I would never check your kick like that. That was the most angry I think I've ever been in a roommate. Because
I had Pete's story where it's like he would do the thing where, you know, you'd want to come home and cook because you want a home-cooked meal. Take a shower, you're tired, but you'd want to cook your own food to have a home-cooked meal. And he would leave dishes in the sink.
That was his thing.
That was his thing.
Every roommate has a fault. Yeah. Mine was ripping butts when I was drunk inside. Pete's was he did not do dishes. And we did not have a dishwasher. Yeah. He just would leave the dishes in the sink. Like, until the sink was full of dishes.
So a couple times it happened.
And we had moments.
Yeah.
We had those moments where we're like, Dude, there's three of us.
Yeah.
You just wash it off.
Yeah.
I would sometimes do the dishes and do the thing of like, I'm doing your dishes.
Yeah.
Like it became a point of contention.
So it happened a couple times. I was like, dude, when Thank I come God off the I was road, on the
road for this. Oh,
when I so come off I when I road. Come off the road, I don't want to do dishes, dude. I just want to cook, and I can't do a whole sink full of dishes. Just do the dishes. He's like, all right, you're right. You know, he was like very like. Yeah.
He was never a dickhead.
No.
He was never a dickhead.
He was a good guy.
He would just do this thing that would make you mad where he'd go like, of course, dude, I'll do that. Yeah. And then he wouldn't do it. And he'd be like.
So I come home after this is like the third time and I go, I'm texting him as the plane lands. I'm like, I'm coming home. Everything cool in the kitchen?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, late night.
Yeah.
How far are you?
He goes, break a girl off.
Yeah, he texts me, how far are you? I'm like, 20 minutes. He's like, okay. So I get home, and it's just the dishes are in the sink. And I'm like, he's not around.
That was the moment.
Yeah.
Where you go like, dude.
I'm like, dude.
When you kick a roommate out, when you decide to move on for a roommate.
Well, in your defense, let me say this. It wasn't that we kicked him out. I don't think it was we kicked him out. Because we loved him. We loved him. We did love him. But the place was not
conducive for three people.
It wasn't for three people.
It was
because the room he was staying in was not a bedroom. He was staying in a glorified closet.
I'm telling you right now.
It was a glorified closet. So it was for two people, really.
It was from here across there.
Yeah.
That was the size of the
room.
It barely fit a queen size bed in it.
Yeah, it was a closet. So,
and I lived there for 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years.
I did eight years
in solitary. 8 years in the hole.
I did eight years in the hole, dude. And it made me strong. I came out with one of those Muslim caps. So, assalamu alaikum, my brother. Yeah. I have found the spirit of Allah in that little tiny.
But when I remember when the whole process was happening, because we were originally looking for another place.
Yeah, we went to
a rat-infested building where it was like she took us up. She was proudly showing us.
For the same price we were paying.
Yeah.
For this 2.5 bedroom.
Yeah.
With a huge living room.
Yeah, it smelled. It was awful. The building was terrible.
And then it was like,
we got down from the building. And we started talking. I was like, he's like, what do you think? I'm like, Dan, because he set it up, you know, and I was like, we should stay in the place. We have a great access to the train. Yeah, we're used to the, that was the other thing, the train.
Living under the train
and listening to the train every night. Every girl we would have over would go, how are you living this way?
And by the way,
you get used to it. Look at me. You get used to it.
But you do.
Okay?
Every
you
want girl, to be part of this? Any girl that we were
get
in a,
used to
any
it.
Girl that we were in a relationship with would inevitably within a month go, oh, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
Unless they didn't want to come to Queens.
Oh, yeah.
The one girl I dated that was like, I won't be coming to Queens. But every girl that I was, we're both in long-term relationships.
Yeah.
Girls would just be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You get used to it.
It becomes normal.
But it's like.
And you're actually grateful to be that close to the train.
It's wild. You could actually
tell. You end up having gratitude for it. Depends how you frame it in your head.
Because you go like this. End's running.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to look at your phone.
You always know when the end's running.
You go, N and W are running. They're both going consistent.
Wait a second. That's the queue.
Yeah.
Oh, the queue has made an appearance.
They've shifted service. or you just see the bus go by filled with everybody because the train was there.
That was another thing. You could tell right from the street.
But it was an apartment where it was like, through all of its faults, it was huge. It was like bigger than any apartment we were going to get for that price.
Yeah.
It was under the train. It was half a block to the Astoria Boulevard stop. A full block to the 30th Avenue, and you had everything
just
around.
Just everything. Diners, coffee.
LaGuardia took 10 minutes.
The best Greek food in the country.
BZ Grill.
It's unreal.
BZ Grill. Go to a BZ Grill in Astoria.
But my point is, when moving out with Pete, it was like, because I think Pete was hurt at the end. And I was like, Pete, this is not a malicious thing towards you. It's like, we are looking for another place. We can't find value in the market. It's like, this place is only for two people, really.
Vecchio would go, he needs a window. To me,
he'd be like, yeah. It's like, Dan just can't be in that room anymore.
He'd go like this, he needs a window. And I'd be like, I need a window.
Yeah.
I need somewhere to blow my smoke out of. I'm blowing it into the walls.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't a thing. If it was had been three rooms, we would have just kept living together.
It was.
You know, we would just, because we did love Pete. We loved him.
He was upset at first. At first he was like, oh, I thought you guys liked me. And we're like, we love you.
Yeah, we love him.
We love you.
Yeah, yeah.
We just can't live it. And that's why Vecchione kept going, he needs a window.
Yeah.
But dude, the windowless room, I couldn't shut the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was steam heat.
He would put a fan. If I shut the door, you would put a fan in the doorway.
I put a fan. I put a floor fan, a space fan to push the AC down, and then I had another fan.
Yeah, there was no way to put AC in that room.
Into my room, and then I had an oscillating fan in my room.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you couldn't. If you throw something away, you'd wake him up.
The trash,
because we had the trash is right there.
Was right outside my door, so like. We had a step on trash can, so you like step, throw, and it go chunk, bonk, and you'd be like, "All right,
yeah,
dude." It got horrible. But but then I moved into the windowless room, to the window room.
We had a good run there.
God, what do we have? Like a good 6-year, 7-year run?
Yeah, yeah,
it was great.
I think that was a 6-year.
Shout out!
I think half the time was with Pete, and the other half of the time was just us, and it was.
Shout out 2555.
Yeah,
I love you.
I stayed there in the pandemic. Me and Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually worked out beautiful because I went with my Katie to Hoboken, and then you would.
Dude, I got back from Zanies.
We're both Mary and Katie's.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
This is double the way to Katie. Go. Yeah,
dude. Is that coincidence?
Katie life. Living that Katie life. Go get yourself a Katie.
Go get yourself a Katie.
That is crazy. If you would have gone to us like 2017, be like, you guys were both going to marry Katie's, you'd be like,
what a fun name. Catherine is like, oh, you can't have your stuff in here. Yeah. It's like, shut up, Catherine. Yeah. But Katie? A Katie would never do that.
A Katie's so fun.
Katie's fun.
Katie's sporty and fun.
Katie puts her hair in a ponytail.
I love you. I knew this was going to be a long podcast. We're going to jump all over the place.
We went long?
Yeah.
Well, I hope some of it makes the Patreon.
There's no Patreon. I don't charge people.
What about bonus? Thank you, buddy, for having me on. I
know you refused to do it for so long, so it's so nice to have you on.
Well, you know what? I made myself, what do you call it, when in demand. I was trying to make myself in demand, so now that, like a forbidden fruit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now the fans actually got it. Two men who genuinely love each other.
The juice is worth the
squeeze. This is not just podcast fodder.
Yeah, this isn't just to sell tickets. This is real fucking life.
No, we lived it. And if we sell some tickets, we sell some tickets. I need to get back on the road. I don't have any dates right now. Between tours. Got to shoot another special and get some clips out there. Hopefully book something soon, or else I have to do crowd work.